Welcome to Behind the Case, an ACG Case Reports Journal podcast, brought to you by the American College of Gastroenterology.
Welcome to Behind the Case, an ACG Case Reports Journal podcast, brought to you by the American College of Gastroenterology. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Judy True, Editor-in-Chief of the ACG Case Reports Journal and GI Fellow at Loyola University Medical Center. I would like to welcome our guest today, Dr. John Fang, who is the author of a noteworthy case report published last month in our journal. He is the Division Chief and Professor of Medicine in the Division of Gastroenterology at the University of Utah. Welcome, Dr. Fang, and thank you for joining us. So could you please briefly summarize the case for the audience?
Yeah, the cases are somewhat similar. They were both cases of refractory, benign, upper GI strictures that I was repeatedly dilating. The first was in a 71-year-old woman with reflux, Sjogren's syndrome, and a refractory proximal esophageal stricture that had undergone 22 previous dilations over the past 7 years. This was her first time I had injected steroids in her. And she developed odynophagia within a few days after the procedure and neck swelling about 11 days later, and was found to have bilateral neck abscesses on CT scan. She was admitted to the intensive care unit, had the abscess aspirated, and was put on nasoenteric tube feeding and discharged on oral antibiotics. And then she was readmitted approximately 2 weeks later with abscess recurrence. Otolaryngology then performed a neck exploration and abscess drainage with drain placement. And she was then discharged and then resumed subsequent serial dilations without steroid injection. The next case was a 7-year-old woman with peptic ulcer disease and persistent non-steroidal anti-inflammatory use who developed refractory pyloric stenosis. I had been repeatedly dilating her and intermittently injecting her with steroids. I had done that a total of 9 times when she developed abdominal pain and nausea. CT scan showed small abscesses in the pyloric wall. She was treated with IV antibiotics and discharged, and she also continues to have serial dilations, but without steroid injections.
For the fellows listening in, what is the role of intralesional steroid injection in the treatment algorithm of benign upper GI strictures?
Well, there's somewhat guidelines and protocols for benign esophageal strictures where you will, people who have refractory benign strictures, which is you can't keep open to more than 14 millimeters over 5 dilations or so, that you should try intralesional steroid injections up to 3 times and then move on. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people at tertiary care centers, it seems like, that have really refractory ones. And so sometimes you end up injecting more than the 3 times. No data for refractory pyloric strictures, but based on the same concept, we sometimes do that too.
Mm-hmm. What were some challenging parts to these cases?
Steroid injection is actually relatively easy. I think the challenging part was that they were such refractory strictures and that it's somewhat difficult to assess how well they respond to steroid injection. You can go somewhat by how much it restructured between dilations and by patient report, but they're both somewhat anecdotal.
And how are these patients now doing after the repeat dilations without steroid injection?
They're still requiring repeat dilations. It's funny, they are requiring less overall number of dilations, but I'm not sure that they are a little bit more hesitant to have their dilations given the fact that they had complications.
In these patients that had complications, would you ever reintroduce steroid injections again for them?
I think I would be hard-pressed to reintroduce steroid injections. You know, the data for steroid injections is somewhat retrospective. and case series. There's only one prospective controlled study, maybe two, and there it's certainly not the slam dunk that we would like it to be. So I think it would be, I would not, given the significant complications.
As you mentioned, you know, there's limited data on the efficacy of SERD injection overall, but it looks to be efficacious in some subset of patients. So in patients that are more susceptible to infection, such as the first case of you presented in your report being immunosuppressed, would you be more cautious with these types of patients in the future?
Certainly, I would be more cautious with patients who are immunosuppressed. I think also just have a high index of suspicion in patients complaining of pain, fever after the procedure to get imaging and labs and so forth, for just a high index of suspicion that you can have infectious abscesses after steroid injection.
And then can you summarize some take-home points for your case?
I think the take-home points would be, one, steroid injections are useful in refractory benign strictures, but be wary of patients who are immunosuppressed. Two, in patients who have symptoms of pain, fever after steroid injection, certainly have a high index of suspicion of possible abscess formation and obtain imaging. And I guess third, probably try to ensure that if you are going to use steroid injection, especially repeatedly, ensure as much as possible that they truly are more efficacious than repeated injection without steroids.
All right, Dr. Fang, thank you so much for participating in our podcast and sharing your interesting cases. And thank you, everyone, for listening in. Tune in to our future podcasts highlighting more of these amazing cases.